I ask you to turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 28. Matthew, chapter 28, reading the last five verses of the book of Matthew, the last instructions that Matthew records that Jesus gave to his disciples before that he ascended back into heaven and then later would come back and reveal to them at the beginning of the book of Acts. But this is a few days after his resurrection, and he has come back to appear to his disciples. So we pick it up, Matthew chapter 28, starting with verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And Matthew adds, Amen. As it is, so shall it ever be. May we pray. Again, Lord, we thank you for the day and we thank you for your word. As we've opened our Bibles, would you open our hearts that we might receive your word and find lodging in our hearts, take forth root and spring forth to bring fruit unto your glory and your praise. Lord, we look to you, and just as you gave instructions to your disciples in this day that we just read, you still give instructions today. So, Lord, may we be at a point in our hearts and our minds that we're ready to receive what you have and to follow your directions for our lives. I ask that you'll grant preaching grace tonight that I might be able to speak your word, that I might do it in a manner that honors you and exalts the name of Jesus, and that would strengthen us as we look to your word. Forgive us of our sins, our faults, and our failures. Lord, ever be with us. In Christ's name we pray, and amen. This afternoon, as I was looking at these verses, in verse 16, the first half of that verse, where it says, Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee. My mind began to ask questions concerning that. Why did they go to Galilee? Why did they go from the place where that they were to that place in Galilee? And of course, we'll find that in Scripture going back up into the chapter in verses 5 through, we'll go to verses 5 through 7 of that, and we'll see how that instruction was given to them, even by the angel, as the women had appeared at the tomb. And Jesus, of course, had already been raised from the dead, and the angel was speaking to the women and giving them instructions, giving them encouragement, giving them comfort, and telling them the message that they were then to share with the 11 disciples. In verse 5 it says, And the angel answered and said to the women, Fear not ye, and there's those words again, Fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus which was crucified. He's not here. I love those words. He's not here. He's not in the tomb anymore. He was laid in the tomb 3 days and three nights before that, but he's not there anymore, for he's risen as he said. He had told them on multiple occasions coming into Jerusalem on those last days. He had told them that he was going, he was going to suffer many things at the hands of the scribes and the elders of the temple, that he would be crucified, he would be buried, and he would be raised again. And somehow they seem to miss that last part. But he's risen, just as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, past tense. He's not there. Come see where they lay his body. And go quickly. Don't tarry there. Don't tarry at the grave. Don't tarry at the tomb. Don't tarry at the place where that he was, because he's not there. Aren't you thankful that we serve a risen Lord Aren't you thankful that the God that we serve is one that is the God of promise, the God of assurance, the God of power, the God of grace, the God of glory? And as He has given to us, even in our day and time, the instructions and directions for our lives, that we can go and we can go with the understanding that the one that we serve, the one that we declare, the one that we speak to others about, our Jesus is risen from the dead. He's alive. He's alive and He lives within our hearts. Go quickly and tell His disciples that He's risen from the dead. And behold, He goeth before you into Galilee. There you shall see Him. Lo, I've told you. And again, I know this is very elementary things that I'm speaking right now, but it made me begin to wonder, why did He pick Galilee? Why did He send them back to Galilee? What was the point in telling them, you go to Galilee? And there you'll see Him. When we seek Jesus, there are prescribed ways in which that we are to seek Him. There's prescribed ways in which that we find Him. There's prescribed ways in which that we experience His presence. And it is by following Him, by following His directive in our life. Go to Galilee. Well, why couldn't they go back to the upper room? And we know that for that same evening that they were in the upper room and Jesus did appear unto them. But that wasn't the ultimate purpose that He had sent, was going to send them to Galilee. Remember, Thomas wasn't there, and Thomas said, I put my fingers in the nail prints of His hands and thrust my hand in His side, I won't believe. And Jesus came back and appeared another time. But that still wasn't the place and the time that this was speaking of here. There were certain directives that Jesus was going to give them, and it was going to take place at a certain time in a certain place, and that was in Galilee. Again, why to Galilee? Go back to chapter 26 with me. And verse 31. This is after that Jesus had observed the last final Passover with them, and He had bowed down and washed their feet, and He had taught them some great things. In chapter 26 and verse 31 it says, Then saith Jesus unto them, All you shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. You see, it needs to be plain spoken. Things weren't going to work out like they thought they were going to work out. Things didn't occur the way they thought they were going to occur. And yet He told them, you're going to be scattered because of what you're going to see. You're going to be offended by those things that you see take place as they would mock Jesus, as they would scourge Jesus, as they would put Him through such agony. He said, you're going to be offended and you're going to be scattered. You remember when the Roman soldiers came and took Jesus, and as they took Him away in those chains, they said that all the disciples forsook Him and fled. Every one of them forsook Him and fled. But verse 32, again, this is beforehand. This is before. You see, God knows. He declares the end from the beginning. And He declared in verse 32. Verse 31 says, you're going to be offended. I'm going to be smitten. But after I'm risen again, there's victory in Jesus Christ. There is absolute assurance of total victory in our Lord. After I'm risen again, they'll do with me whatsoever that they think that they need to do. But that won't be the end. After I'm risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Again, there's the instructions that have been given. The angel reminded the women, tell them to go to Galilee and there they will see Him. And now in verse 16 of our text tonight in chapter 28, they went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. They had been scattered, but the shepherd was going to gather them back together. They had gone their own ways for a little while with thoughts going through their mind and panic going through their mind because of what they seen their Lord having to endure. But Jesus was going to bring them back. Jesus was going to gather them back together. Understand, there's hope in Jesus Christ. Always there's hope in Jesus Christ. When things seem hopeless, when things seem the darkest, there's hope in Jesus Christ. There's light in Jesus. He is the light. So he said, go back to Galilee. And again, this afternoon, I'm thinking, why? Why Galilee? Why that specific place? But for most of them, they had been called into service in what region? Galilee. You see, he sent them back. I believe, and I can't prove this, but I believe that so many times this happens in our lives that we have to go back to that place where that we first began to have that exchange, began to have that relationship, that we first began to come to that place of understanding of who Jesus is, what He has done, and how that He's affecting our life. And sometimes we have to go back to that place. And I believe that as they went back to that place and they sat there and they were waiting to see Jesus, that their minds began to go back and remember what they were some 3.5 years before this. What had happened just 3.5 years before this? Well, Simon and Andrew, they had quit fishing for the day. And when Jesus walked by them, they were at their nets and they were putting them up and getting ready for the next day's work. And Jesus said, come follow me. And the authority of His voice, come follow me. The authority of what they had seen in Jesus Christ. I personally believe that at that point in this time in chapter 28 verse 16, that they're thinking back as they're waiting to hear what Jesus has to say. I remember what I was. There's a song that we sing in the quartet, and if you take it in one direction, I don't know that it's theologically correct, but if you take it in the idea of what I remember the day that the Lord saved me. I'm going to tell you, they remembered the day when the Lord saved them. I'm not saying they became children of God that day, but if I understand what salvation means, it is a deliverance from and a deliverance to. Ultimately, salvation is deliverance from this earth to heaven. But I believe that there is a salvation that we as God's children experience, and I believe that we can experience it over and over and over again because we go back to those same things so many times, and God saves us from that. He saves us. He delivers us from that which we put ourselves into a place of fellowship with Him. So I believe that their mind was going back, and Simon and Andrew said, you know, right there, they were in the mountain, but they could see the sea. Right there's where our ship was. Right there's where we were working on the nest. Right there's where we were getting ready for the next day. Right there's where Jesus said, come follow me. And James and John said, oh yes, I remember also. We were repairing our nets. They were torn. And Jesus said, come follow me. He saved us that day from the torment that we were in when we were not accomplishing anything to becoming fishers of men. I ask every one of us tonight, can you look back at a time in your life when things were different? Can you look back at a time in your life and remember? You know, I hear people say, well, I know exactly when the Lord saved me eternally. I don't. I don't know when He did that. I think I've always loved the Lord. I haven't always been obedient to Him, but I've always loved the Lord. I can't go back to a point in time and say, well, that was the day and that was the hour. But I can remember and recall certain times that I know that my Jesus came to me and He called me out of the darkness that I was in and showed me His marvelous light. I've shared it with y'all before, and I want to share it one more time. But I remember, that's the song, I remember the day, I remember the night when Judy and the children had already gone to bed, and the Lord said, open the Bible, and I had to say, where is it? I didn't even know where the Bible was. And I finally found the table model. You don't see them quite often now, but used to, you'd order your pictures to be taken, they'd give you a free Bible. You know, the big quiet one. You put it on the tabletop. I finally found that one. And I opened it up and I began to read. And I began to read and the Lord began to speak to me. What a wonderful time it was to know that Jesus loves me. And that's exactly what He was telling me. I didn't know where to look, but I opened it up and I began to read. And He said, herein is love. Not that I loved Him, but that He loved me. I remember the day. And here in Galilee, they're looking back and they're seeing that time. I'm going to tell you, Jesus doesn't change. He doesn't change.
I debate on it, and I'm not, for the next 2 months, I'm not going to go back over and over and over this morning. But I'm going to tell you, it's not the end. And I can't say that forcefully enough, because Jesus has said, I'll be with you always. And I'm going to tell you, you don't take your eyes off of Jesus. I'm not worth your eyes being on me. You keep your eyes on Jesus, and He'll show you the way, and He'll bring you to that place. I understand a disappointment, but I'm going to tell you, you'll never be disappointed in Jesus. Never. You'll never be disappointed in Him. He'll never let you down. He'll never come to a place where that you may not always agree with what He's telling you to do, but I assure you that when He leads you, He's leading you in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. So He said, you go back to Galilee and you start thinking back, because you've right now, it's fresh on your mind, the hurt, He's saying to the 11 disciples. It's fresh on your mind, the hurt that you've seen, the hurt, the pain that you saw Jesus endure. It's fresh on your mind. Go back to Galilee. Remember where you were. Remember how I called you. And remember the last 3.5 years. What you've seen me do. And now, He says, I'm the same. The only thing that's changed is you're now redeemed by the shed blood that was given on Calvary's Hill. They went to Galilee. They remembered. Let me just go back and read this. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, go back to Galilee. Every one of us, from time to time, we've got to go back. We've got to go back to that place where that was so fresh in our minds and so fresh in our hearts, because we're prone. We're prone to get in our own little roots and our little ruts, aren't we? We're prone to get in our own routines. We're prone to get comfortable with where we are. And Jesus said, you go back and you remember what you were. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And He saith unto them, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed Him. And going on from this, He saw other two brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and He called them. They immediately left the ship and their father and followed Him. Verse 23. And Jesus went about all of Galilee, and they're following Him. They're following Him. They're listening. They're watching. They're observing. He went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. I'm wondering, when they're up there on that mountaintop in Galilee and they're looking down, I don't know how, I've never been to that area, so I don't know how much they can actually see there, but I'm wondering if they're looking out across Galilee and they said, there's the synagogue. That's the one. He went in there. Remember the man with the withered hand? He healed him. The man that was lame? He healed him. The man that couldn't see? He healed him. But notice something here in verse 23. He went about all Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Preaching the good news of the kingdom of God. What's involved with the kingdom of God? Well, we know it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Paul tells us that in Romans 14 and verse 17. But I'm wondering, this afternoon as I read that, it jumped out at me. He went about preaching the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom. The good news of the kingdom. For every kingdom, there must be a king, right? And for every king, he has full authority and he has full power. And he can say to this one, go, and he goes, and come here, and he comes here, and jump, and how high. And he has all of the power and all the authority. But ultimately, the gospel of the kingdom had to involve the resurrection of the dead. So I'm wondering, did Jesus preach in their presence at this early point in their life? That He was going to go to Jerusalem, and there He would suffer many things. He preached it to them on 3 occasions coming into Jerusalem that last week. And I don't think that was the first time that they had heard it. It had to be involved that there would be a resurrection, and redemption would be accomplished. Remember John the Baptist when he saw Him. Behold, the Lamb of God.
In order for the Lamb of God to be the redemption of God, there had to be a death of that Lamb, right? So I have to believe that as He preached the gospel of the kingdom, He preached the gospel to them, to all of them, but especially to His disciples. There's coming a time, I'm going to leave you. I'm going to go back to the Father. I'm not going to leave you alone. So I'm wondering, is all this going through their minds? They're sitting there and they're waiting. Verse 17, and when they saw Him, they worshipped Him. I'm back in Matthew 28 now, excuse me. When they saw Him, they worshipped Him. I remember, I had not been trying to preach very long, and a good friend and I were talking, and we were talking about Saul on the road to Damascus. And I looked at him and I said, you know, I've never experienced anything like that. I've never experienced that light shining down out of heaven. And I thought about that so much that I began to wonder, had God even dealt with me? And he looked at me and he said, Steve, Jesus walked up to you right now face to face. Would you even recognize Him? And his thought was, I wouldn't unless He revealed Himself to me. So when I stopped to think about it in that light, I have had a Damascus Road appearance. And you have also, if you've seen the Lord in the light of His glory. Oh, maybe it wasn't as dramatic as it was with Saul, because he had a purpose for Saul to go and preach the gospel to people that had never heard of Jesus. But if you've seen the light of Jesus Christ, you've had the same experience as the Apostle Paul. They worshipped Him, but some doubted. Some doubted. I was still fighting the call. This had been 1985. Still fighting the call to preach. And Mom and Daddy lived in Barnesville at the time. He was at Rhema Church. And we had gone down. And it just so happened. So happened that it was the time of the association. So Daddy was going to go. And I said, I'll go with you. And I went, and Elder Earl Bishop had the opening message, and he used this text, and he came all the way down to verse 17, and he ended with, but some doubted, and he said, I'm going to let somebody else preach that one. And he hit me smack in the face, because that's where I was at the point. Some doubted. I was doubting the call. I was doubting my ability. I was not doubting Christ, but I was doubting me. I have to believe that all 11 of them saw the same Jesus, exactly the same with their eyes. But apparently some saw Him with their heart, and some were still looking with their eyes. Some doubted. Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all power, the kingdom. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. I have accomplished your redemption, but I also have power to see you through every day, every situation, every circumstance, everything that we're called upon to endure in this life. Jesus Christ has the power to see us through. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. And I close tonight going back to 2 Timothy chapter 2, the first four verses. For you see, there was a command that was given to the disciples, and they would be apostles from that point on, because he's sending them. The apostles are those that are sent by the risen Lord. He's sending them with a directive. Teach. 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 Can I say tonight that every single one of us have that same call upon us? You don't have to be an ordained pastor to teach somebody else about the love of God, do you? You've experienced it in your life. You've experienced what God is able to do for you. And to share that with someone else, That's exactly what God has called every one of us to do. Yes, some do it from behind the pulpit, but some do it at Walmart. Some do it at Ken's. Some do it at the dollar store. Some do it in our homes. Some do it wherever that we have the opportunity. And Paul, as he's writing to Timothy, this young preacher, he's giving him instructions. 2 Timothy 2, starting with verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong. Be strong. Not in your own strength, but in the strength of Christ Jesus. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. When we experience the love of God, when we experience the teachings of Christ from His Word, it's not just for us. It's for us and to be through us to others. Teach. Commit the same to faithful men. And what are they to do with it? Who shall be able to teach others also? You see, it's a ripple effect. It's a ripple effect. As Christ comes to us, He deals with us. We tell, and it starts with our family, it starts with our friends. Or sometimes it starts with somebody that's not having a good day in front of us in the grocery line. It goes with wherever we have the opportunity to mention the name of Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you something. They can try all they want to. They can write on as many pieces of paper as they want to. They cannot legislate Jesus Christ out of our lives. They can't do it. Don't let them do it. Don't be afraid to mention the name of Jesus. Somebody just might be the very one that needs to hear it at that point. He says, I'm sharing with you, Timothy. You share with faithful men. They'll share it with others. They'll share it with others. How do you think that we have it today? This same process has gone on through the ages. And we still have it today. Thou therefore in your hardness, it isn't always easy, but as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Christ has chosen every one of us to be a soldier in his army, to go forth. We sing the song sometimes. I think maybe even some of the songbooks, newer songbooks, have taken it out of their hymnals. Onward, Christian soldiers. Life is a battle. Never been intended to be easy for us. It's a struggle coming in. It's a struggle going out. And it's a struggle in between. But Jesus Christ has said He has all power in heaven and in earth. So we're able to endure those struggles when we lean upon Jesus, when we trust Him, when we cast our cares upon Him, and He lifts us up and He sees us through.